Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 to 18. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." Then I said, "Here I am, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God." First he said, "Sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary.
Well, good evening. A very, very warm welcome to Spicer Street Online. Very good to be speaking to you on what will be, of course, our last Sunday service of 2020, and quite a year it has been, hasn't it? Well, as we come to God's Word, let's pray. Father, as we look at your word now after an extraordinary year, would you please encourage us in the very depths of our beings? May we see Christ more clearly and rejoice in the salvation that we have in him. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, for a few moments now, we're going to spend time thinking about what Jesus Christ had to say as he came into the world. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, and of course, it is an amazing event. God himself came into this world and took on flesh. The eternal Son took on flesh. The Word became flesh. The child that Mary held in her arms was fully God, fully man. Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us. Can we ever tire thinking about this event? Well, I don't think we will if we keep reflecting on the scriptures, and as they reflect on the kind of great event from any number of angles. And the angle we're going to reflect upon this evening is to pick up some of the words that Jesus spoke as he came into the world. We're going to think about what Jesus had to say as he came into this world. We're looking at Hebrews 10, not a passage that we normally use at Christmas, but one we certainly could use. Verse 5 says, therefore when he came into the world, he said. These words refer to what Jesus Christ said as he came into the world. These are words that he really spoke. When were these words spoken? Well, I don't think we can be totally sure about that. He may well have spoken them on the eve of his incarnation, as Jesus was coming into the world. And these words then will give us an insight into how Christ was thinking, what he was thinking about his mission as he entered into our world. So it could be that these are words that were spoken on the eve of his incarnation. At the very least, they could have been spoken by him as he set about his public ministry at the age of 30. They could have been spoken at his incarnation. They could have just been spoken as he started his public ministry. They could have been spoken at some point when he was a young man growing up and was coming to understand fully what he was to do in the world. But however we read it, we have here the words that Christ spoke as he was conscious of his mission in this world. Well, what did Christ have to say? What were the words that was on his lips as he came into this world? It's always interesting, isn't it, to hear what people have to say when they start in high-profile positions. There's been a change of president, of course, in the United States, and I think the inauguration is sometime in January, and I assume then that Joe Biden, President Biden, will set out his stall in a speech. This is what my time as president will be about. We will hear what the president has to say. Back in 2019, Boris Johnson became a prime minister, and you can read his first speech as prime minister. My job is to make your streets safer, and we're going to begin with another 20,000 police on the streets. My job is to make sure you don't have to wait 3 weeks to see a GP. My job is to protect you and your parents from the fear of having to sell your home to pay for costs of care. My job is to make sure you kids get a superb education. Let me tell you something else about my job. It is to be Prime Minister of the whole of the United Kingdom. As he came into office, as he came to be Prime Minister, he spoke. When people arrive, they speak. So what did Christ say as he came into our world? What was he about? Well, it's there in verses 5, 6 and 7. The Lord Jesus takes words from Psalm 40 to his own lips. We see here, of course, the scriptures are all about him. All that Old Testament was about him. And he knew it was about him. He knew those words were about him. And what does he have to say? Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. What is he saying here? Well, firstly he says something about what he's not about. Christ states that he knows something that he was not to do. It's always important, isn't it, when you start a job, to know what your job isn't. You don't go running over there when you're meant to be over here. Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire. He was not there. He did not come into this world to offer Old Testament sacrifices and offerings. The sacrifices prescribed in Leviticus. This was not his will, God's will for Christ. And in any case, and in fact, why he wasn't going to do it, the burnt offerings, sin offerings, you were not pleased with them. In some sense, God was not pleased with them. He was not to join in with the priests and offer their sacrifices. He wasn't going to present the sheep and the goats before the Lord in the temple. Well, what was he to do if he didn't come to offer those sacrifices in the Old Testament, prescribed by the Old Testament? Well, we note a couple of very important things that he mentions in quoting this psalm. Rather than offering sacrifices of sheep and goats and bulls, he was given a body. Jesus Christ had a body prepared for him. He had a body like you and I have bodies. He was given a body. Clearly he was going to do something with this body, with his body. And he came, he tells us in these verses, to do the will of God. He came to obey God, to do what God had said he must do. He was given a body and he came to do God's will. And he would do with his body what God wanted him to do with his body. So you see what's going on here? What was Jesus saying as he came into the world? He'd been given a body, he was going to obey God's will, but he was not going to offer Old Testament sacrifices. What was he going to do? What was he speaking about? Well, he is pushing aside the Old Testament sacrifices. Verse 9, and he said, "Here I am, I've come to do your will." He sets he sets aside the first to establish the second. He was pushing all those Old Testament sacrifices aside. And Jesus, instead of offering Old Testament sacrifices, offered his own body in obedience to God, to offer it once for all, a sacrifice for sin. Verse 10, and by that will, the will of God, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He was commanded by God through his word to offer his body as a sacrifice. And he came to obey and to give that body on the cross as a perfect sacrifice, the one for all sacrifice for sin. So we've seen that Jesus spoke as he came into this world. He was clear about what he was not going to do, offer Old Testament sacrifices. He was clear about what he was going to do, to offer his body as a once and for all sacrifice. That's what he said he was going to do, what he was all about. Did he deliver on his actions? Did he succeed in his task? We can check with Mr. Trump whether he succeeded in his task from 4 years ago as he made his speech. We can check whether President Biden will deliver on what he has to say. We can check whether Mr. Johnson delivered on what he had to say. Did Jesus succeed? Did he obey? Did he give his body as a sacrifice for sin? Did he succeed in his task which he spoke about as he entered this world? Well, the writer of the letter tells us, yes. The one sacrifice of Christ's body did it. He contrasts it with the Old Testament priests. They have to keep doing it day after day after day after day because it doesn't work. But Christ did it once and dealt with sin. Up above me here in my garden office is, of course, my roof. And it used to have a lot of moss on the roof. Occasionally I'd have a little go at it. But even if I got rid of some of the moss up there, very quickly a whole lot of new moss just appeared. I probably could have done it every week or every couple of weeks, and in a couple of weeks' time it would have just been back. But at last year, definitive action was taken. The big elder tree back here blew down. The elder tree kind of went over my office here, and the water, of course, just dripped off that and fed the moss. The elder tree was dealt with, and most of the moss has gone. A definitive action dealt with the problem that used to have to be, which you couldn't deal with even if you did it week by week. And so it is with the cross of Christ. One action dealt with the problem. Christ made his sacrifice. And verse 12 tells us he is now sat down at the right hand of God. When you've had a really busy day, you like to sit down when you've finished. Not that Christ got tired in that sense. But the sitting down indicates work done. The work is finished of dealing with sin. And the writer goes on to put this in New Covenant language, quoting Jeremiah. Sins have been dealt with and we've been given a new heart. Christ has achieved that for us. So there at the end of the verse, where these have been forgiven, speaking of sin, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. What did Jesus say as he came to this world? I have a body prepared for me. I have come to do God's will. What was that will? Well, that he would give his body as a sacrifice for sin. Did it work? Yes. The one sacrificed for sin dealt with our sin, such that all who trust in Christ enjoy the benefits of his death. Forgiven, made perfect in his sight, made holy in his sight. Well, what does this mean for us as we leave 2020 and enter into 2021? Well, I think it just is important at the end of such a difficult year that we just praise the Lord Jesus Christ. He came, he obeyed, and gave his body as a sacrifice for sin. And as we reflect on him coming into the world, just thank him. Adore him, worship him, the Christ who has dealt with our sin. And secondly, we need to understand that we have been made holy and that we are being made holy. We have been made holy and we are being made holy. Verse 14. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. We need to grasp that we have been made perfect forever and that we are being made holy. Both of those things are true and we need to know them. You see, if we do not grasp both of them, that our sins have been forgiven, that the once and for all sacrifice has dealt with our sin, we may get into trouble. You see, because as we look back on our lives, as we look maybe inwards, we see sin and it can be pretty ugly. Well, Christ's death has dealt with that sin. But secondly, we need to grasp that we are being made holy. We have not arrived yet. We have not reached the promised rest, the promised land. We are being sanctified. There is a work that is still going on within us. And if we fail to grasp both of those things, we will lead an unstable Christian life, an unhealthy Christian life. You see, if we don't get that we have been made holy, that we are acceptable, then we will be riddled with guilt and despair. We will have no confidence in prayer. We will have no joy. And we may try to start working ourselves into God's favour, or with these Hebrew Christians, tempted to go back to the Old Testament sacrifices, we may end up comparing ourselves with others rather than resting on the finished work of Christ. For by his one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. It is a finished work. And we want to rejoice in that. So as we may reflect on the ways we've sinned in 2020, we need to know again that his sacrifice dealt with our sin. And rest in that, and rejoice in that, and glory in the access that we have, that we can draw near to God. That we've been cleansed, our consciences have been cleansed, and that we are acceptable. But secondly, we do need to grasp that we are a work in progress. And we can't ignore that. If we ignore that fact that there's work to be done, that we're not home yet, we may quietly slip out of the race. There is a race to be run, a striving in the Christian life. We are to hold on to Christ and continue to go to him for strength, go to him to be transformed, and to look forward to that new city. Look forward to his return and that glorious completion of that work. We are to rest in Christ, in his death, as he does, his death has dealt with our sin, and we are to run the race in his power, looking forward to his final appearing in glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came into this world and that he spoke these words. He took this psalm upon his lips, knowing that you have prepared a body for him, and he came to knowing that he would do and was committed to doing your will of giving himself for our sin as a perfect sacrifice for sin, to do what the Old Testament sacrifices could never do. We thank you because of that sacrifice. Through faith in him, we have this holiness, we have this standing with you, we have been cleansed, we have been saved and made perfect forever. Encourage us in that, and then help us to see that there is a race to run, that you are working in us, and that we can come to you for grace and mercy in our time of need. So help us to rest in Christ and to run the race. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's rejoice in our great high priest before the throne of God above. Thank you.